Before we even dive into the start of the show, the first thing I want to make sure you guys are all aware of is that Pro Football Focus is awesome. Been a big fan of their work for a long time. I've told you, I don't think it's perfect, but I think it's really darn good. It's about as close to it as it gets. Such a wealth of information, and now they're helping you with your fantasy teams as well. You got PFF Edge for full access to PFF's player projections, fantasy draft guide, cheat sheets, or PFF Elite, where they've got the DFS Optimizer, Greenline Pick Center, and so much more. So why not get some fantasy info to help your team win from the guys that actually evaluate every player on every play? Sign up now at ProFootballFocus.com.
It's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It's a Wisdom Wednesday with longtime Packers exec Andrew Brandt. Man, there's a lot to get into. Roquan Smith, finally a done deal. Can't wait to get Andrew's thoughts on the Tom Brady contract. Are you kidding? The Browns, Hard Knocks. I mean, there's a lot to get into. The Anthem stuff, got to get Andrew's thoughts on that. It's presented by SeatGeek. Now is as good a time as any to check the entire regular season for tickets, and just make sure you use the promo code Tucker to get $20 off the already lowest ticket prices. So that's the key. Go ahead, get the app on your phone, or go to SeatGeek.com, put that promo code Tucker in to get $20 off. Spread the word, winner, today. It's the easiest thing to do. It literally takes less than a second. Graham Bird is the winner for this week. Graham retweeted Monday's RTFP with Mike Golic Jr. A lot of you said you really enjoyed that. I got good feedback on that one. Thanks for that. I love when you guys give me feedback, positively or negatively, by the way. You know, we highly value your opinion. You're the great listeners. You're the guys that are all subscribed and you listen to every episode. We want to know what you want more of and what you want less of. So let us know. So that was awesome. What we want more of is more of you guys retweeting it when we post stuff, which is why I'm going to send Graham Bird a little something in the mail. Graham, let me know what you want. Ross@RossTucker.com, which also, by the way, is my email address where you can send anytime you take advantage of any of our sponsors, Bet Online or Dollar Shave Club, whatever. You sign up for any of them, you take advantage of any of them, forward it to me, Ross@RossTucker.com. And A, you get a free month of Tuckheads, which a lot of dudes have really been enjoying lately between now and September 1st. And B, you also get a little something potentially from me. And at a minimum, C, I'll read and respond to your question right here on the show. Keep those sponsor confirmations coming. We've got a couple weeks left for you to get in the Fantasy Feast Redraft League, season-long league with myself and Evan Silva. We're rolling through that July best ball draft right now with the winners from the best ball draft. But we got the season-long league still going that you can enter, as well as getting that free month of Tuckheads. But for right now, it's time to get Andrew Brandt's thoughts. Am I going crazy on the Roquan Smith or Tom Brady stuff? Is this stuff not ridiculous? Let's find out with the Big Show.
The Big Show.
Andrew, as always, a lot to get into. Before we even get into the Tom Brady stuff or the Roquan Smith stuff, I did want to ask you, since you've been doing such a great job with it lately, what's the latest with the Business of Sports podcast?
Yeah, just as you said, some of these things we'll be getting into, Ross, today on a deeper level than you and I right now, because there's a lot of kind of technical issues going on with contracts, with getting ready for the season, what goes on inside training camp for the front office. Really take viewers into that on Brandt's Rants edition of the Business of Sports this week.
What did you think, Andrew, about the Roquan Smith deal language compromise? We finally ended that holdout, the last rookie that hadn't signed. And, you know, we've seen the reports from Pro Football Talk and other places about the language compromise they came to regarding what could void his guarantees and what could not.
Yeah, you know, I thought there would be some kind of, you can call it concession, made by the Bears to get him in there, and it would be something that would still protect their language. And again, for people who don't understand, CBA does do the money for you. The agents and the team really don't have to negotiate about how much the player makes, how much his bonus he makes. They have to negotiate when the bonus is paid out. But the language is different for every team. It's subject to negotiation, and the Bears are trying to get this language. It seems like they were intent on having on-field conduct that draws suspension also void future guarantees, and maybe a last-minute trade by the Bears to get him in camp was, you probably have read it more in depth than I have, but it seems like for incidents that are not egregious on the field or even draw multiple game suspensions, then he's okay. And that's for future guarantees. But multiple game, and it's been reported 3-game suspensions would draw that. So, you know, listen, the way I look at this, Ross, CAA held out is probably too strong a word, but Joey Bosa didn't report for 3 weeks. This is another one, the second longest holdout, same agency. And they're going to use this in their recruiting to look at players and say, we fight for you more than other agents do. And yeah, we didn't make a lot of gains, but we made some gains. And no other agents would do this. And by the looks of CAA signing, I think 8 or 9 first-rounders this year, it seems to be working. So whatever it is, you have agents that say, we're not going to just sit rollover. And they fought this and gained something, if not much.
Well, I was gonna take it the other way, Andrew, which is,
yeah.
was it worth having him miss almost a month if you're the Bears to have the right to be able to forfeit his guarantees if he does something on the field that merits a 3-game or more suspension, which has only happened like once, which is Vontaze Burfict? Like, was that worth it? Or do you look at it and say, hey, he didn't really miss much anyway, so yeah, it was worth it to get something there?
It's a great question. It's something, listen, Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, the negotiators, this is not something that happens unilaterally with any of them. So they're all on the same page about this, and they're all talking about when is kind of drop-dead dates to get him in here. You know, we got 3 weeks left in the preseason. I think they understood it. And maybe whatever move that was, the 3 games, was always in their back pocket until it got to this point. And I don't discount that at all. I think that's what happens in these situations. On the other side, I'm sure Roquan and his agents in their private meetings had a drop-dead date. I don't think anyone ever expected this to go into the season. And, you know, it was a test of wills, who blinks first, and it happened. I think the key is always precedent. So that's going to be in the Bears' language forever, for first-round picks, for all picks. Well, first-round picks only matter because they're the only ones with future guarantees. So that's what this is all about. I know people always say, well, listen, contract negotiations are never about what happens now. It's always about what happens later. And it's lawyers like me protecting risk for their side. And that's what this was all about, protecting Roquan's risk of losing future guarantees, protecting the Bears' interests in having that in their contracts.
The other contract issue that I think is especially interesting that happened since we last spoke revolves around Tom Brady, where they added some incentives to his deal. This one is kind of a head-scratcher for me, Andrew, but I'll just ask your thoughts. I know you've written about it as well. Your thoughts in general before I perhaps get a little more specific.
Yeah, Ross, and I wrote about it for The Athletic. I just think this is one of the quietest mysteries in the history of the business of sports, considering the magnitude of the player. And the mystery is, why, not whether or if, because that's not a mystery. The mystery is why Tom Brady continues to accept undervalued contracts. And it's raised again this week because, as you said, he got a contract, what I guess you call an upgrade. And it raises the eyebrows again because even the upgrade is weird. You know, it's not what you expect Tom Brady to get as an upgrade. It's reported 5 individual statistical upgrades, performance incentives, requiring to be top 5 in these quarterback categories, $1 million each, doubles to $2 million if they win the Super Bowl, but maxed, capped at $5 million. So he could take his $15 million to $20 million this year, or it could be 15 or 16 or 17 or 18 or 19, which still puts him in the, you know, the 20 to 21 region for top paid quarterbacks. You can ask me more, but listen, the first thing I got to say is, really? That's what you're doing for Tom Brady? You're adding incentives? Julio Jones had 3 years left on a contract, made some noise, and he's getting $3 million cash. You couldn't give Tom Brady $3 million cash? I mean, I just don't get it. I really don't get it.
I'm with you, Andrew. I'm so glad to hear you say that. I think it's really insulting. I mean, the guy is taking – the guy's at about half his market value, if that, at $15 million a year, you know, the next 2 years, as opposed to, like, what Matt Ryan, some of these other guys are getting. And yet, you're going to go ahead and he has to earn the incentives. And they're not easy incentives. Now, they're not likely to be earned, but they're not easy incentives, Andrew. Like, to me – if Tom Brady wants a little bit more money, you count your lucky stars that he only wants $5 million more. You give him an adjustment, $5 million bonus. You spread it out over the 2 years. No big deal. Like, I'm amazed by this. I'm at a loss for words. I really am. That rarely happens to me, but I'm glad it feels like you're seeing it the same way. I just don't know how that's not insulting.
You know, I've written about this over the years for ESPN, for the Monday Morning Quarterback, this week for The Athletic, talked about it with you on TV, radio. You don't hear much about it. I mean, I don't think I'm the only one talking about it, but it's one of the great mysteries. And the mystery, what you just said is right. The mystery is not whether he takes less money or not. That's not a question. The only question is why. And you hear all kinds of theories advanced, such a team player, such a great guy, wife is a supermodel, he's got some kind of deal with the Crafts, which would be a total salary cap violation. I don't know. I don't know. I know Don Yee's a very good agent, got Jimmy Garoppolo, $46 million, I think he's making this year. I don't know. I am only pointing it out. People can have their own theories as to why this happens. A lot of people suggest things that would be illegal. I'm not going there. But it happens. And I think the point you made is right. This is an upgrade where, like I said, Julio Jones, and there are others I can't think of, examples where teams said, you know what, okay, no strings attached. Here's some new money. Even if, as reported with Julio Jones, they took it from next year. Why not do that? I mean, and then he'd get an upgrade next year again. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, I'm glad you feel the same way I do about it, because I thought I was losing my mind. You know, one of the things that cropped up, Greg, Andrew, that I thought was interesting was just recently – On Tuesday, I think it was, the Redskins cut Orlando Scandrick after mm-hmm. they gave him $1 million signing bonus a few months ago after he'd been a cap casualty for the Cowboys. The Redskins gave him $1 million signing bonus. And now after one preseason game, a couple weeks of camp, they're cutting him. Now they say it's because the rookies have been so good and they want to give Scandrick a chance to latch on elsewhere. But that's weird to me that I don't know how long they tried to trade him, if at all. But what if they suffer an injury? Or what if other teams suffer injuries, Andrew, and you know they're able to get something in return for him? I mean, do you think that – are you buying that they're kind of doing him a solid, so to speak?
Yeah, it seems odd. I mean, especially $1 million, you never tell people how to spend their money, but I don't know how Dan Snyder would feel about that, you know, where he got 2 weeks of camp and that money goes down the toilet. You know, with I always have this kind of raised eye with vested veterans because they we'll talk about this more in a couple weeks, but their salary is guaranteed if they're on the roster week one. And obviously injury would keep them around too. So teams may be more willing to cut ties with vested veterans early in camp than younger players just because the risk is coming with them. It's an odd cut because I remember, I think, the Cowboys extended him with a contract just like a couple years ago. And now he gets $1 million for 2 weeks of camp. You're right. That's an odd one.
Tell me about that situation when you're deciding, yep. Okay. I mean, when you were in Green Bay, did you ever cut a guy earlier because you wanted to do him a solid? Especially a guy that, by the way, has never played for you before?
You know, I mean, to be honest, when you say you're going to do him a solid, let him get out there, it's really just a rationalization. You know, if you probably asked the guy, he'd probably rather make the team. He'd probably rather beat out the guy he thinks he can beat out in the next 2 weeks. Teams come up with all kinds of rationalizations that try to make it look good. But, yeah, you're not really doing him a solid. I think everyone knows that.
I also wanted to ask you about the Jaguars and the Browns' discipline. You know, the Jaguars had an issue with someone, you know, going at the media, Jalen Ramsey, after there was a fight. They've suspended him for a week. Meanwhile, the Cleveland Browns had a player that was highlighted on Hard Knocks on Tuesday night that, you know, was pulled over, cited, marijuana, 3 a.m., gun parts, bullets, suspended license, and their discipline reportedly was to make him play every play of the preseason game. That's a pretty stark contrast between those two, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, this is sort of management versus coaching. I mean, again, you come into these situations where management looks at this and the way they're treating people and reporters, and they can't have this, and they got to set a precedent, and they got to lay down the law, and that's the Jaguars situation. We can't have that. We have to have players know they can't do that. And again, back to the future voids, there's reports that it would not be a future void, even though this was a penalty on Ramsey. And then the Browns seem like a coaching decision where the discipline's going to really come from the coaching side, from the football operational on the field. It struck me as unique. I did watch Hard Knocks. It just seemed like this player, unlike the start of the Hard Knocks show as he's on, Corey Coleman, someone they gave up on, this player, they're really making an effort, despite his transgressions, to keep him around, support him. And I think they'd look at it as tough love to make him play and get him in shape and do it for football reasons. So they are curious. And I just come back to the Jaguars made a business decision and the Browns made a football decision on this player.
Really, really unique, I feel like. We also, Andrew, are not done with the anthem stuff by any stretch of the imagination. I thought the two most interesting aspects of it were, you know, in Miami where the police unions are now not going to the Dolphins games because a couple of guys kneeled. The Dolphins were offering them tickets as part of this program, and the police unions down there are saying, don't go. That's not a good situation. And maybe the most interesting which has been underreported, is that, you know, the Broncos had decided as a team reportedly that they would stand together for the anthem. And then there were two guys in the first preseason game that stayed in the tunnel together. So to me, I feel like that would be the part that would really concern coaches, would be when they felt like, you know, it could threaten to have an issue with the team internally, that they're not on the same page.
Yeah, and this was what happened last year with the Steelers and Roethlisberger and Alejandro Villanueva standing out in front of the locker room when the team decided to stay in the locker room. And I remember you and I talking about this, that the unintended consequences of all this are another issue for coaches, that they really don't know how to handle this, and they're not given the proper direction. As all these kind of policy decisions are made, you can go back to reduced time in the off season. They're made by ownership. And you trickle down to the operational level with coaches, and it's just not working. So I don't know. You can talk about policies. You can talk about owners supporting players. But, you know, there's 1,800 players. And some feel very strongly about the anthem. Some don't. It's not an anthem issue. It's a player protest issue of other issues. But, yeah, I mean, then you have with the Dolphins protesting, you have issues with police unions bigger than sports. And the bottom line is we don't have resolution. And maybe we will by the start of the season. But it hasn't been handled well. It's a clumsy policy that now seems to be on hold. And players don't know what to do. Owners aren't disciplining them now. It's a mess. And, you know, I think we're on the two-year anniversary, I think it might even be today, of Colin Kaepernick first, I believe, sitting before kneeling. And you got to ask, where are we? You know, where are we? We're kind of, are we at an even same place we were? I don't know. It's just, it's still going on. And the last comment is Kaepernick's collusion suit's going on. The NFL has requested summary judgment, which means asking the arbitrator to drop this case. That'll be an interesting ruling, because if it proceeds, it's going to cloud over the season some more. If it's dropped, it's dropped.
Andrew, always appreciate the time and the insight. Man, it's amazing that there's always a bunch of issues. During the season, it's supposed to be your slower time, but that wasn't the case this week, that's for sure. And that's why we're glad that you have the Business of Sports podcast to dive into all this stuff deeper and a bunch of other NFL business issues as well. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, Ross.
It is always a pleasure, Andrew, but not as much of a pleasure as it is using some of these Dollar Shave Club products on my body. Yeah, you heard me. Lean in. I'm talking about my body. I'm talking about the Dollar Shave Club products. You already know how much I love the One Wipe Charlies and the shave butter. But how about the body wash, the shampoo? Look, this is dude stuff made by dudes for dudes and bros, and that's what it's about. You want bros and dude stuff that's made by dudes and bros. They've got the executive razor, which is awesome. Look, you can get ready with an amazing deal on any of their starter sets. Check out their different starter sets. I recommend Daily Essentials starter set, because that amber lavender body cleanser. My daughters say, "Oh, Daddy, you smell good." Yes, I do. Amber lavender body cleanser, girls. But you can't go wrong with any of them. Head over to DollarShaveClub.com/Tucker to pick your own Dollar Shave Club starter set for just $5. After your starter set, products ship at regular price. And make sure you check out their new video, too. That's DollarShaveClub.com/Tucker. DollarShaveClub.com/Tucker.
Hey, Ross. Well, it's finally over, as you discussed with Andrew. Rokon Smith's holdout, no more, after he reportedly reached a compromise with the team regarding the contract language, and that was the holdup.
You know what's interesting about it to me is, not only what I said to Andrew about the fact that, like, was that worth it if you're the Bears? Like, was that really, all of that, was that really worth it? The flip side would be, He might play Saturday night. They got two more preseason games after that. Is it ideal for the opener? Probably not. But the reality is the Bears aren't going to the playoffs this year anyway. So it's not really that big a deal. Either way, like for Roquan Smith's career, how he plays year three and year four is ultimately what matters from a financial standpoint. For the Bears, you know, they want to just make sure he's playing every game. He was. And that's kind of it. I mean, it's a big deal because he missed the most time by far of anybody, but at the end of the day, it's not really a big deal. I mean, Joey Bosa was still the rookie of the year in the league when he missed all that time.
Ducks takes.
Some transactions of note today, including the Niners signing running back Alfred Morris, the Broncos signing recently released safety Marco Thomas, Raiders tackle Donald Penn agreeing to a pay cut to stay in Oakland, and the Redskins cutting cornerback Orlando Scandrick a few months after giving him his $1 million signing bonus. And as we already talked about with Andrew, what are your final thoughts on that?
Well, that's bizarre to me. So I don't really believe that a team does a player a solid like that, and certainly not a guy that's never played for them before. That's just something you say publicly to be nice. But this is not like Ryan Kerrigan, you know, or Trent Williams, or one of your really good players that's been there for a while. Those are the type of guys that maybe you would do a solid for. I guess they didn't want to take the chance that Orlando Scandrick would get injured, but that to me is stupid. Just don't have him participate in the game and put the word out that he's on the trade block. And keep them in case another team has an injury. Or what if one of these young guys or a couple of these young guys that you like, what if they get hurt and then you're out there having to try to sign a different corner when you already paid a guy $1 million? I don't get it. And in my experience, the Redskins aren't that nice. They're not that heartwarming to do somebody a solid like that. So I'm not buying it. As for Donald Penn, you know, the headline is pay cut, but I saw where he gets more guaranteed money, including some guaranteed money into next year, which, you know, at this point, that's what you want. You want to keep stacking the years together for all the benefits. I've told you guys about the different benefits. That'd be a good episode, by the way, sometime, is just to do all the different benefits that NFL players get and go over the financials of that. I think people would be interested. Yeah, Shamarco Thomas just got cut by the Colts after he got ejected. And Alfred Morris played for Kyle Shanahan with the Redskins his rookie year, whatever that was, 2012. So they go back. By the way, that makes me feel really old. That 2012 Alfred Morris and RG3's rookie year. It's a long time ago now, man. It didn't feel that long ago, but it is.
Ducks takes.
Notable injury news, including Big Ben is being evaluated for a concussion. Seahawks first-round pick Rashad Penny broke his finger. Saints wide receiver Cam Meredith, he's out with an undisclosed injury. Terrell Pryor telling the media he broke his ankle back in May. And Cleveland Browns cornerback Denzel Ward fighting through an ankle injury himself.
So that's weird because they're having guys sit out to try to prevent injury, but then a guy that is injured, they have him fighting through an injury. That's not logical like a lot of things that you see on Hard Knocks. I can't believe that they hadn't had that meeting with Antonio Callaway beforehand. That's bizarre to me. Terrell Pryor, man, Todd Bowles is pretty fired up about that, wasn't he? I mean, Todd Bowles really, really going off about Terrell Pryor telling the media about that. That's always a shame to me, right? Like a player tells the media the truth about injury and the team is all upset about it. I mean, really? Really? As for Cam Meredith, remember, the Bears let him walk because they were concerned about his injury stuff. We'll see what that undisclosed issue is. Big Ben, I mean, somebody's going to be in trouble for that. How do you get potentially concussion during practice as your 15-year starting quarterback? Supposedly somehow he got knocked down or tripped up or whatever. Bad enough that he hit his head that he might have a concussion? Wow. Somebody, the team would not be happy with somebody in that instance. And then the Seahawks, it felt like a superfluous pick, surprising pick when they took Rashad Penny. Now he had to fly all the way to Philly to get surgery on a finger. It's a bad broken finger. I don't know what the deal is with his finger, but that's a bad broken finger if you need to fly to Philly to get it operated on. He's out at least 3 or 4 weeks.
Tux takes.
Some quarterback news today, including Chad Kelly leapfrogging Paxton Lynch into the number 2 quarterback position with the Denver Broncos. And both Mitch Trubisky and Pat Mahomes continue to throw a lot of interceptions in practice.
So the Chad Kelly thing, I'm going to talk to Greg Cosell about that for tomorrow's Ross Tucker Football Podcast. So I'm traveling this weekend, really starting today, but it'd be very difficult to do the show Friday. So we'll do the third RTFP this week tomorrow with Greg Cosell and get his thoughts on all the rookie quarterbacks. And I'll remember to ask him about Chad Kelly and how they did in week one in the preseason before week two gets underway. So I think you guys will enjoy that. Greg is back and we'll break down the rookie quarterbacks and Chad Kelly, but Paxton Lynch was terrible and Chad Kelly was good. So that's not that surprising. You know, when there's that wide of a disparity in a preseason game, it's kind of hard for the coaches to not make that move. As for the Trubisky and Mahomes thing, you know what? I'll ask Greg about that as well. That's just, you know, I get it, right? You know, maybe they're trying stuff. Maybe they're pushing the limits of their receivers and stuff. But, man, it sure would have been nice, real nice, if just once they were okay with me, you know, not giving up a sack. Never once did I hear that. Oh, as long as you're trying things out, Ross, that's fine. No problem. Like, what? No. I don't think that that's the case.
Tux takes.
And finally, Ross, any thoughts on Panthers linebacker Thomas Davis saying that character and track record should be taken into account when it comes to PED suspensions?
It doesn't feel real logical to me. I mean, I understand where he's coming from, but just because you have a good track record off the field doesn't mean you're really a good person. I've seen plenty of other guys that everybody thinks that they're a great person and they're beloved in the community, but unfortunately, they're really not. Plenty of those situations, in fact. So that, to me, is notable. And then really, a lot of times it is guys like in their early to mid-30s that start taking PEDs, even though they've got good reputations, because they're trying to stay in the league. They're trying not to lose a step. So, yeah, not buying what Thomas Davis is selling there. I am buying what FirstLeaf.com is selling right now. It's the only wine club that uses your ratings to make personalized wine selections matched to your taste. So this is awesome, right? So you know what wines you like or think you like, right? So then all you have to do after you get an introductory 3-pack of wine is rate them, and then the next batch they send you will be more in line with the ones you liked based on what they send. So it actually gets better every time. I just had to answer 3 quick questions with my wife about my wine drinking preferences. I like white. I need it cold. I don't like red wine. I like Sauvignon Blancs, typically from New Zealand, so that helps. So it's really cool. Then the next shipment, you're getting almost even better ones that fit what you like. And then each shipment, you keep doing the ratings to the point where they're just sending you new wines you haven't had before that are all exactly what you're looking for. So sign up using my personal link. You'll get an exclusive intro offer. It's 3 bottles of wine for only $15 plus free shipping. That's not all. If you rate those 3 wines, you'll get an extra $10 off your next box, right? So pretty good deal on 6 different wines there. Try firstleaf.com/football. Again, try firstleaf.com or try firstleaf/football. firstleaf.com/football. Again, Go to tryfirstleaf.com/football. All right, I think I butchered it, so I'm going to do it one more time. tryfirstleaf.com/football. tryfirstleaf.com/football. There you go.
Ever wanted to ask an NFL player a question? Well, here's your chance. It's time to ask Ross.
Email address, Bri, ross@rostucker.com. Your questions are always better than what Bri and I could come up with ourselves. It's amazing. We love it. So do it. Take advantage of any of our sponsors like tryfirstleaf.com/football or Dollar Shave Club or any of the ones you've heard today. Hit up any of them. Send it to me, ross@rostucker.com, with your email address and your question.
So what was it? It was firstleaf.com/football?
No, tryfirstleaf.com/football.
Okay.
Are you making fun of me now, Bri?
Maybe. Hey, okay. Today's question. Hey, Ross. Hey, Brian. Love the shows. Love your great sponsors. We all know that the hash marks on the field are closer together as the level of play advances, and it certainly places the quarterback more front and center, so to speak, in the NFL. What does that change mean to the O-line? Is it a big change from college to the NFL, and do you have homework on your own, or is that covered by the O-line coach? All I can tell you is that playing on an NFL field is a big deal at halftime if you're in the college marching band that bases formations on the hash marks. That's from our friend Kate.
Kate Kolibaba. She was the trombone player for the Colorado State Band. I love that. At a Broncos game a long time ago. Kate, I tried the trombone. Did you know that, Brian?
I did not.
Yeah, so like in middle school, they introduce you to instruments and say, hey, you know, which one do you want to try? And they really encourage everybody to give it a shot. Now, I didn't really enjoy it, and I was not good at it, to say the least. So my trombone career didn't last real long. I think he got like a few free lessons, and after that it was like, all right, kid, are you going to really continue with this or what? But I thought the trombone dude looked cool. You know, I thought having that big arm and going shoot, that's like one of like my Y Missing High School songs. No, that's actually on Broadway. Anyway, good musical lessons here. So I was terrible at it, Kate. Hash marks, you don't really notice it that much as a player other than as an offensive lineman, other than defenses line up more to the field than they do based on strength in college. NFL, it's all based on strength. College, it's based more on the field and the boundary. So that would be the answer there. And then as for homework, yeah, the offensive line coach will give you homework sometimes, but usually it's really, really just kind of up to you. Just like car buying is up to you. And that's why what Hyundai has come up with is so awesome. I've been telling you about Shopper Assurance. It's amazing. And you need to check it out at HyundaiUSA.com. They've got flexible test drive that comes to you, transparent pricing for your convenience, a streamlined purchase for efficiency's sake, and a 3-day worry-free exchange. That is awesome. The 3-day worry-free exchange is amazing. I love the test drive that comes to you. And I just love that Hyundai is trying to make the experience better for you. Right? Nobody's ever thought, hey, let's just make the buying experience better for the buyers. I like it. HyundaiUSA.com. It is Shopper Assurance. And that is the end of today's Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Great stuff with Andrew Brandt. We will be back tomorrow. Tears of Evan wide receivers already posted today for your enjoyment. We'll have Christopher Harris from Harris Football tomorrow, mañana, whatever. So there's a lot of good things happening. Just like you guys rating and reviewing the show is a good thing, or just giving us the retweets, that's huge. It's so easy to rate and review the show, and so easy to make sure you use our Amazon banner ad link before you make a purchase. It's on the homepage. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Fantasy Feast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.